right. You know, a few weeks back, probably actually maybe a couple months back now, we had a worship night, and we're working on trying to make a worship room. So we're trying to make a space where we gather around the presence of God. And it's kind of messy because we don't have a leader yet. And so sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. If somebody doesn't show up, we really can't do anything about it. So we just cancel it. We're going to keep trying to do some of that. So, but one of those nights, Debbie Ocon was there. And she just gave this prophecy for like a minute long. And it had all to do with expectations. And God says, I want you to trade your expectations for expectancy. I want you to trade your expectations for expectancy. So just think about that. Expectations put clear perimeters around something you want to have happen. So if God gave you a word that you will be a mighty woman of God and you'll have children and all this other stuff, and then you put expectations around exactly what that means. You're thinking about the kids you're going to have. You're thinking, and maybe you might be a mighty woman of God in an orphanage. You don't know. But if you put expectations on God in exact particular ways, you put God in a box. And sometimes God's trying to give you a different thing that you need and want more than you know you want, but you don't see it because you put an expectation on thing. So he's saying, I'm asking you to trade it. Give up your expectations for expectancy. And expectancy means you know when you hear God, your spirit jumps and he can come up, he can show up any way he wants. You're expecting because he said something and you know it means something. You don't know what it means, and you're holding that really loosely. You also don't know when that's going to happen. You hold that real loosely, but you're expectant. You know that you are ready for God to show up. So as we go about what we're doing today, I'm expecting that same kind of thing. So my dad and I are going to share this morning. Come on up. And yeah, come on. This is going to be fun. We've done this once before, but never here, I don't think. I don't think we've ever done it here together. We've done this before.
We did it in Florida.
We did it in Florida. We did it a couple other places. So,
yeah.
But what I feel expectant in the room, when I feel expectancy, is about we just want Holy Spirit to show up. Yeah. So we've got some outlines and some topics to talk about, but really that's just our best thing that God told us. And we're just expecting Holy Spirit to show up. And I do believe today's a day of breakthrough. I don't think breakthrough, after hearing what Peggy is saying, when I was saying breakthrough, what I'm expecting and what my expectancy in my spirit is that we break through, not God comes and bails us out.
Exactly.
It's a co-labor, co-mission, and I really feel like that. And so today we're going to talk to you about something I'm calling the mystery of three. Dad's been getting a ton of revelation about some stuff, about threes. He keeps seeing these patterns. And when you find a pattern, when God talks to you about something, you'll find that he describes it like a gold vein in a mine. When you first find the first vein, all of a sudden you realize that vein's connected to a whole bunch more veins. You just keep following the vein and you find the gold. Well, so when God gives you a revelation, you'll find that his language, he'll open up to you a side of himself, an expression of what he's trying to say about himself, and you'll find that that's connected throughout the entire Bible. A lot of times, you'll have to read the Bible again. Because you found a different way of looking at it that you're like, oh man, I got to read it again from that view because that's a totally different view. And he keeps doing that. By the way, if you're hoping you get the right revelation and then you're done, it's not how it works. Yeah. It's a relational mind. It's an relational relationship. So the mystery of three is what we're going to talk about. And the mystery of three has to do with several different things. So first it's righteousness, peace, and joy. Faith, hope, and love. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And these are all symptoms. These are all proof that you're living in your true identity and God's true identity. When you see righteousness, peace, and joy, when you see faith, hope, and love, when you see all these symptoms in your life, these are the unmovable things.
And all of these things are from the inside out.
Yes.
None of these things are from the outside in.
Yep.
This morning, when you challenged us, you said, what's God saying to you today? I heard him speak to me, resurrection from the dead. So I think today God wants to raise some things from the dead in our hearts, raise some things from the inside out. And I just, as we continue on this, I just want to pray one thing. John, the apostle, when he was older, so I'm older. John was the apostle. He prayed a prayer. I want to pray this prayer for us right now. And the prayer is that you would your soul would prosper, that you would prosper in health even as your soul prospers. But there's a part that John left out there, which is taken for granted that you know. If you understand John, John was a man who understood intimacy with God, the connection with the Spirit of God. That's the whole message of John the Apostle, was the connection with God. So as he's praying for the church in his older years, he's saying, I want you to be in health, even as your soul prospers. He's going to the core because your soul will never prosper unless your spirit prospers. And when your spirit prospers, your soul will automatically prosper, and then your life will prosper. And so I just want to pray as we're starting out here, because we got a number of you watching online today because of sickness. And I'm praying that health will come to you, that you'll be in health, but even as your soul prospers. But I'm speaking to the core right now. These are also threes. We are created in the likeness and the image of God. God is not created in the likeness and the image of us. We cannot discover who God is by looking at us, but we can discover who we are by looking at Him. Now listen to me. The world is filled with wonderful, good people that I call the Eldads and Medads, translated into English, people that God is really affectionate to and He really loves. And He wants to put His Holy Spirit upon all the ones He's really affectionate to and He really loves, the Eldads and Medads. Those were men back in the days of Moses, when the Holy Spirit came on 70. So God loves all you people out in the world, if you're watching right now. He loves you. His affection to you is loves to you. But He wants you to be more than just recipients of His affectionate love. He wants you to be transformed by His empowering love. He wants you to know His manifest presence in your life. He wants us today to know His manifest presence in our lives. And He wants us to be a healthy body. He wants you and I to be healthy. So we take authority right now, declaring it's not authority over sickness. It's the authority of life that eradicates sickness. It's resurrection from the dead that causes the dead to live. So I'm praying right now that your spirit, my spirit, Holy Spirit, you are here, that we would connect with you and in awe of you today as we share. That we will connect with you. You're the only teacher. You're the only transformer in this room. You're the only one that can transform us, change us. We pray that you would allow us to connect with you, and then our soul would prosper, our thoughts, our desires, our emotions, our passion, our will, our imaginations would come alive because of you in us, and then our lives would change. So things are going to change. Breakthrough's coming today. Breakthrough is coming today. Healing is coming to bodies. Vision is coming to eyes. Hearing is coming to ears. Not because those are our objectives. They're simply the fruit. So in the mystery of three. Amen.
Awesome. Now I just want to sit in that. So the way I'm seeing this is that God has been challenging us to find our true identity and find His true identity. And I'm noticing around all over the planet right now, there's all these distractions. And one of those is what he's saying. One of the distractions I'm seeing is that we define who God is because of this is who we are. That's a distraction. God defines who He is to us. And in looking at God, we find out who we are. Now, we might have some pretty good hints when we're looking at ourselves. We're looking at our passions. We're looking at our heart symptoms. We're looking at some things that we like to be around and what makes us come alive. Those are hints. To what makes us, those are hints to our identity, but that's not the source of our identity. The source of identity is found in God. The source of our identity is found in looking at Him. And we said face to face. I want to see you face to face. Theo said he saw Jesus face to face this morning. He saw His face. And then I said, Jesus, I want to see you face to face. And then he's like, I already saw Him. So I'm asking to see, because when we look to the eyes of Jesus, we begin to see ourselves. I think my mom told me a story one time. She was like, she was disciplining me. I think it was me. No, it was Aaron. It was Aaron. Of course it was Aaron. Aaron was always getting Aaron, if you're watching this. Aaron always got in trouble. Sometimes he got in trouble because I egged him on. I'm like, if you do this and you get away with it, then I can do it too. But if you don't, then he was the guinea pig. I don't know what you call it. Anyways, he was getting disciplined, and he was looking at my mom's eyes, and she's like, wow, he's really listening. And then at the end of it, he goes, I can see myself in your eyes. So that's kind of true, though. That's the point. Actually, that's a good thing. I can actually, Jesus is hoping for the day when you say, wow, I can see myself in your eyes. Because he's trying to show us who we are. And I can tell you right now on the planet, there is a massive, like a division. There's a massive split on God saying who we are and then us defining who God is. That one side wants to define who God is and who we are based on our own natural sense, our own natural abilities, our own natural sight and natural understanding, natural wisdom. But God wants to define who he is. And right now he's getting pretty bold about telling us who he is. But he who has an ear to hear is hearing it. So we're just going to look at these three things, because these three things are symbols of how to find that and how to dig and how to find who God really is. You want the Proverbs one to be a good
one? Yeah, well, the Proverbs one, we're about to read a couple of verses in Proverbs. And a week ago, I'm doing my morning run, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me these two verses. And as he speaks to me these two verses, he says to me, substitute three words for three words in these verses. So in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, it says, when wisdom enters your heart, when wisdom enters your spirit, your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. And the word knowledge there is not a word describing information. It's a relational word. It's describing intimacy, a relationship with, and something that will lead us to understanding. So when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you. And then So in these verses, there are three things that are described, which is wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And so I need wisdom, I need knowledge, and I need understanding. There's another verse. I'm kind of taking prophetic license to spring forward to another verse that's going to tie to this that we'll repeat again. So if you're following on the PowerPoint, sorry. But there's a verse in Proverbs that says that, which one is it where we build the house?
Proverbs 24:3.
24, thank you very much. Proverbs 24.
Up higher.
20, there it is. Okay, Proverbs 24:3-4, where it says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant things. Now, there's three words that God's been speaking to me that are in this vein of three. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, and God I live, and God I move, and God I have my being, this internal reality of the kingdom. And the three words that are unshakable, that are immovable, that never change are words of faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now, God told me, he says, I want you to substitute three words. I want you to substitute the word wisdom with faith. I want you to substitute the word understanding with hope. And I want you to substitute the word knowledge with love. And so through faith, a house is built. Through hope, it's established. And then its rooms are filled with precious treasures through love. Now, at the beginning of the year, Pastor Jonathan challenged us, what's your word for the year? Get a word, close your eyes, and see if God gives you a word for the year. And God spoke to me a word, and I heard faith. And then my thought was, oh, something, I don't like that word. Because this is not my first rodeo. I've been down this, you're going to tell me faith. That means I'm not going to know what I'm doing. I don't like not knowing what I'm doing. That means I'm going to have to go another measure, being blind in the dark. I don't like the word faith. And as quickly as I thought that conversation, the Holy Spirit says to me, no. This is not faith as you've known it. This is more intimate. This is deeper. And then he gave me a word that went with it throughout the year. And if you've been following my blogs, you've seen this word or you've heard me previously this year, the word navigate. Now, you only navigate if you need to navigate. Now, you're only lost if you fail to navigate. Navigation doesn't have to do with knowing where you're going. It has to do with knowing where you need to get to. So you're willing to adjust. You're willing to navigate because you know where it's headed. Okay, there may be some weather today that's come through that's different than what you were expecting. But if you're expectant, you'll navigate the weather.
That's true.
If you're expecting to get there in a certain way, you're probably not going to get there. Thank God that those who went west and found this area knew how to navigate. Okay, knew how to make some decisions as they go. Okay, so through faith, a house is built. Now, Jonathan, what was the word that God gave you?
God gave me the word hope.
Oh.
Yeah. And I hope. So now, same thing. I've sat down with Allen's over there, Arnold Allen. He wrote a book on authentic hope. And I sat down with him and I started digging into this word, hope. Because it's really a vague thing. Like you have this, all right, I know the definition, it's a confident expectation of something. It's a confident belief in something happening. I knew that definition, but I didn't understand hope. And then I was talking about becoming the word. How do you become this word that God has given us, right? Well, I'm like, how do I become hope? Like, how do I, like, literally become this, embody this hope? And I would have never figured out how to do that unless I realized when you start digging and you're digging in Romans, it talks about pressure comes. And then it says this word that I don't like, cheerful endurance. Endurance I can handle, yeah, but cheerful?
Always cheerful.
He preached on it not that long ago, being cheerful. I'm like, oh God, I'm in trouble. I've endured. I'm not sure if I've been cheer and full of cheer. I'm not sure that's the case. But endurance, and then it produces character, which produces hope. So as I begin to look at that process, what produces hope, I'm like, okay, God, pressure has come. I have endured. I'm continuing to endure. I continue to endure, and I'm working on character. I'm constantly letting God shape my character. At one point in life, and not that long ago, I had 7 mentors. Yikes. That was to work on my character. I was like in serious mode of, God, I want to work. I want to become like you, and I got blind spots. I can't see, and I need some help. So I had people speaking in my life. So I began to walk this out. And now I'm experiencing, I have some hope because I know this is the process of hope. And guess what? Faith, hope, and love are the 3 things that cannot be shaken.
So if they can be shaken, then maybe we haven't really discovered faith, hope, and love yet. And maybe it shakes because faith, hope, and love are actually manifesting. It's not the devil that is shaking. It's the truth that's causing the false to shake. So we look at the shake and we say, oh, look at the world is in trouble. It's shaking. No, the world is in the midst of really good news because an unshakable mountain is rising up in the midst of what can shake. So if your life is shaking, you need to thank God because He's in your life.
Yes,
if your life's not shaking, man, you must not have God in your life. Because if things aren't shaking, then you must be saying, well, you're God. But if things are shaking, just maybe God is in your life, and therefore it's causing things to shake so that your life can be built, it can be established. Now, 3 words that seem to be the opposite of these: fear, doubt, and unbelief. But the truth is, fear is not the opposite of faith. Natural sight is the opposite of faith, but natural sight will make you afraid. I'm going to propose that the opposite of hope is not doubt. But perhaps shaking is the opposite of doubt. And shaking will make you doubt. Tempt you to doubt, just like natural sight will tempt you to be afraid. So it can be some of the evidence around the peripherals, but the truth is, the opposite of faith is natural sight. What does it feel like? What does it look like? What do I think it feels like? What happened before? What didn't happen before? Hope is, well, this shook before. This is shaking. If there's hope, why is it shaking? Because hope is about establishing. If you can be established and there's no shaking going on, I question what's been established. Even in the natural, we live in an earthquake zone, right? And so we have to build a little bit stronger than what we thought. So Because in parts of the world where they don't build strong enough, everything falls down when there's an earthquake. What's the word that God gave to the church?
God gave the word for the church was treasures.
Every room
and
is
becoming whole. Something
treasure,
about becoming
special
whole.
Things.
Yep. Everyone's a treasure. Every word, every part of who God is making you, your identity is a treasure to the body of Christ. So you're pulling the treasures. He told me, he gave me a word for to lead this family into. He's a scribe. It's Matthew 25. It talks about there's a scribe who's the head of the household who draws out the treasures of things ancient and things new and pulls them out for this time. And so God was asking me to pull out who you really are. Who are these people really? And we began to highlight people. We began to have people sharing and talking about treasures. And that's what God is doing. He's making every one of us uniquely who we are so that, and we can share that unique treasure of who we are. And to make you who you are, a lot of times there's refining. So, and I'll tell you for my own life, back to the hope thing, I could tell you my number one struggle this year has been doubt. Every time there's a shaking, he said every time there's a shaking, that's true. But every time something didn't work out like I wanted it to, or let me rephrase it, every time something didn't work out that proved I do have what it takes, I experienced doubt. Which means I was putting my hope in outside circumstances, making it work. So my hope wasn't in God. I thought it was, but my hope was in the proof that God is real, not in when there's no proof happening, can my hope still be in God? Can I still believe what he's saying? Literally, God is taking away so many things that I used to have. God has taken away even different ways of connecting to him. I used to connect to him so easily. I could come to the church when no one's around. I'd get on the drum set and I would just play my heart out. I do that now and it looks like, feels like I'm just going to break some sticks. That's not the way I'm connecting with him. I found a different way to connect with God, but the ways I used to connect with him, it's not working anymore. Same with the ways I used to fill those places in my life that I thought I needed, that I thought God was filling, like certain types of friendships or mentors. Like I was needing mentors to say I was doing a good job to make sure that I was doing a good job. But when God begins to separate that from me and begins to separate friendships and different things from me, I realize, wow, you're making it so I can't get my need met that's shakable outside of you. Which is actually producing hope in me. Because I didn't realize that I had my hope in a perfect world, not my hope in a God who creates a perfect world. Or an imperfect world. It doesn't matter. If your hope's in him, it doesn't matter. And so that's my number one wrestle has been not hope. My number one wrestle has been doubt. Which that's good. So like he said, if you're experiencing fear, doubt, or unbelief in your life, it's a good news. It's not bad news. This is good news. It means a shaking's happening. It's actually a promise from God. All things that can be shaken will be shaken. I don't remember where that is. You probably know where that is, but I don't know where that is. It's in the Bible. Anything that can be shaken will be shaken. That's a promise from God. So he's shaking things. So if you feel any kind of shaking going on or you're in a life with people who are shaking, guess what? It's a good news. Promise from God is happening. And that's so that the things that remain, faith, hope, and love, these things will remain in us. These are the things that cannot
in
be shaken.
In the context of the shaking, all things can be shaken. That verse says, so that what? Cannot be shaken will remain.
Absolutely.
So it isn't about shaking. It's so that what cannot be shaken. See, the kingdom of God is not an external kingdom, people. It's an internal kingdom. Okay, a lot of people are waiting for the day when the kingdom of God is going to come. If you look in the Greek text, that word come is a present, perfect, and imperfect tense. It's not some event in the future. Okay, I am a king. I am a Lord. But I'm not a king like the kings of the world. Why? Because the kingdom of God came inside of me. I recognized. I turned to Jesus in my heart. Don't grow so old in religion. Don't grow so old in looking for who God is outside of you that you miss who God is inside of you. Return to your first love. Because the kingdom of God is inside of you. It's righteousness. A relationship with God, spirit to spirit, peace, a testimony that even affects your thoughts, your imagination, your emotion, your desires, your reasoning, that you are a God person. Something of heaven is coming off of you in this life. Peace in the Holy Spirit, no gap between you and God. And joy in the Holy Spirit, which is not happiness. Joy is connected to purpose. joy you will endure the cross that's set before you for the sake of the reason for which you came. Joy is about your partnership with God as He tabernacles with you from the inside out. And He partners with you. You see, righteousness is about your identity. Peace is about your testimony. And joy is about your divine purpose. But it's the inside out place. The kingdom of God is inside of you so that you become a kingdom of your Lord in Christ. So that your marriage becomes a kingdom of your Lord in Christ. So that your relationships with your friends becomes an expression of the kingdom of your Lord in Christ. So that your relationship with your enemies becomes a testimony of the kingdom of the Lord in Christ which is inside of you. So that this church becomes a testimony of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, a testimony of the kingdom of our Lord in Christ, so that we can reign in life by the power of grace. So, we want these three things. How do we get them, Jonathan? There's a great story.
Yeah, so there's the prodigal son story is an interesting story.
Which we call it the prodigal son.
It's not really about the prodigal son, but everybody focuses on the prodigal son because it produces a nice hope about this story, about a prodigal son coming home, can still inherit from God, all this different stuff. But the prodigal son story found in Luke 15, is it?
Luke 15:11-32.
So Luke 15, it talks about, but really the story is a response to these people who are asking, these Pharisees were asking Jesus, what's the kingdom of heaven like? What's the kingdom of heaven like? And he responds and said, the kingdom of heaven is like, and he tells like four different stories. So he tells the story of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then he tells this prodigal son story. And so, again, there's three right there. And then the fourth one is...
The fourth one is the just steward, the unjust steward.
The unjust steward, okay.
Which is the point in life.
What's the point in life?
And the point in life is relationship.
Yeah.
It's not about being right. You can't pay your debts.
That's right.
God doesn't want anybody... He doesn't even think of anybody being able to pay their debts. That's not the point. The point is making friends.
Come on. Yeah, being connected. So the prodigal son story, here's my perspective of the prodigal son story. So take this. I think the prodigal son story first is about a father. So they talk about the two sons, but really it's about a father. It's about a father trying to connect with his sons. And he's trying to figure out a way to connect with his sons. And he's not controlling. He's very open. So the first son comes to him. The younger son comes to him and says, I want my inheritance now. I want to go live. There's also in this story, I think there's three sons in this story. I've heard this preached before, but I see this story as having three types of people, three types of sons, three type of human beings. The first one is the prodigal son, the son who's, I want to go find myself. So I'm going to go not inside. I'm not going to go to my father to find myself. I'm going to go to independence to find myself. Me. I want to take the inheritance and I'm going to go spend it on things I want, things that make me feel good, it's independence. I'm going to go to independence to find me. That's number one journey. So that's what the prodigal son does, and he goes and he spends his inheritance, living life, probably had looked like a lot of friends until his money ran out. And then all of a sudden he had no source of life anymore, because independence runs out. Independence always gets depleted. When you're independent, you're self-dependent, whatever that is, you end up running out of resources, because independence doesn't work. It feels good for a while. It might last a while even. It depends on how much you have to begin with. You might have a good inheritance and it might last a while, but independence always leads in a pig pen eating what pigs eat. That's what he's trying to tell us. Okay? Number two, a son is the older son. The son who does what the Bible calls works, dead works. The older son does things to prove he's a good son. He takes care of the place. He keeps doing the right thing. He didn't leave. He's not the one that asked for inheritance. He did all the right things. He's the Pharisee, or at risk. He's the self-proclaimed Christian. I'm a Christian. I do work. Because I do these things, I'm a Christian. I would rather, like the old days, be called a Christian because I look like Jesus. If you think I look like Jesus and you say I'm a Christian, that's the best compliment you could give me. But if I say I'm a Christian, and that entitles me to do whatever the hell I want... And I'm just making you look at the certain type of things that I do to make me look good. That's dead works. And we're supposed to repent from dead works. Faith, works that don't speak of who he is, works to get to who we want to be. That's the second son. Then there's the third son. This is super, super important. The third type of human being is one who has finally done. You finally recognize your power has no more power anymore. You finally realize your will is not going to get you what you want. The third son is the prodigal son coming home, who is ready to be a servant. I mean, he's humbled. He's been humiliated. He literally was eating with the pigs. There is nothing left in him, and he's willing to satisfy to be a servant from now on rather than be an entitled son. I don't deserve this. I don't even deserve to be with my father, but I know he'll treat me better than this servant does. So the third person, the third type of human being is what God is trying to bring us all to right now. Which when your will dies, his will can come alive in you. It's when you finally recognize, I can't try my way out of this one. Independent doesn't work, and doing the right thing doesn't work. It's not about your strength, it's about his strength. So when this third son comes home, he gets these gifts from his dad. And that third son gets a connection. Now, this whole story is about a father. The father's on the edge of his seat, ready to get his son. Now, the one thing the father didn't do was go bail his son out. A lot of people are like looking at the story. If this is a story about God, then why didn't God go in the city and bail him out? Because that son needed to be humbled first. Because all the father wanted was a connection with him. And if he doesn't let this happen to him, if he doesn't let this sink into, I have one personal friend of mine who's saying, Jonathan, I don't want to take you off your cross yet. You're not quite done. That's a father right there. So, because I need to be humbled. I need to let it die all the way first so that I need God and not my own strength. I can't try my way out of this. When my will finally dies and I'm empty, I'm ready for him. And so that when he comes home, the father embraces him. And that's what a father's supposed to do. And then he gives him three things.
Yeah. Now, in this story, it doesn't say there was a bad son and a good son.
Right.
And now I want you to put this in contemporary reality, your world. Let's put this in America or Europe or anywhere right now. Let's put this in your neighborhood. In your neighborhood, there's a father. And many people in your neighborhood, and sometimes you, don't recognize who he is. They define him as a master, a boss, a god, an ignorer, someone who misunderstands. They define him as a being of power instead of a source of life and intimacy. And so in the world, people in the world are looking not just for love, they're looking for their identity, their testimony, and their purpose. Thank God. Bless you, people, on a journey, looking. You are not really a prodigal son. You're a confused son looking for love in the wrong places, but you got the right idea. And you're looking, thinking, when I go and find myself, then I will find life. You won't find life when you find yourself, because disconnected from God, you cannot find yourself. And it's not people in the world are bad, they're wicked. Okay, right now, in the world, people are confused. In the church, people are confused. Both sons are confused. The son who's looking to prove he can be, discover who he is. What's my dream? What's my vision? What was I born to do in life? Oh, I want to find my passions. You know, in times past, the older son was so in control in the church. Whenever the younger son said, let's go on a journey, the older son would say, shut up. Get involved. Get connected to church. Do the right thing. And now, the God is so wanting his children to know who he is and who they are together. He's allowing a little bit of freedom to come. And he's allowing a little bit of chaos to happen and a whole lot of confusion to happen. And so some of us as older sons are looking at that saying, shame on that. That's the bad son. And others of us are looking and say, no, that's the really good son. That's the really good son. No, they're both confused sons. Neither of them are bad and neither of them are good. They're both loved. And the one who's immovable, unshakable, steadfast is the dad. Because he's got what you need. He has your robe, he has your ring, and he has your sandals. But they're not really your robe, your ring, or your sandals. They're his. You can even take your portion, go squander it, and because they're his, he still has plenty. You ever figure that one out? I mean, the younger son goes out and he spends it. He gets a ring, he gets a robe, he gets sandals. He goes out and he wastes it all, comes back, and the father says, put my robe on him, put my ring on him, put my sandals on him. Because you see, our father can't be depleted. You could be a Judas. You could go and spend all the money. You could steal all the money and he never runs out. You could be totally unforgiving and he never runs out of forgiveness. You could be totally judgmental and he never runs out of mercy. He's rich. Yeah, he's rich. He's rich in mercy. He's rich in grace. Why? Not so that you'll know you're loved, but so that you can be in partnership with him. So, that one comes home, the other one's there, and the older son, he's ticked off. He's, what's this noise? What's this party? And what are they doing? They're eating the fatted calf. The one, the older son, no doubt has been feeding, right? Okay, you know what the fatted calf in your life is? It's to be the will of God. But you're going to have to know that the robe that you wear is his robe. You're clothed in Christ. You're a little I am that makes a testimony of the great I am. And we need each other. We need him. I'll never be who I am independent from him. And I'll never be who I am doing what he wants. I'll only be who I am when I'm connected to him. I'll only be who I am when I can do because I'm connected to him. It's a party. It's a partnership. It's a relationship of a father and a son. Oh, God loves you, world. But you're looking, not just looking for love in the wrong place. You're trying to find yourself. Praise God, you're trying to find yourself. Wake up, church. We're supposed to find ourselves. Now listen up, church. Listen up, world. You can't find yourself doing church things and you can't find yourself doing your thing. You got to realize there are three things that are essential. Where's your identity? Where's your testimony, your authority? And what's your purpose? And it's him. You find it when you find him. So, back to this three things.
Well, the robe speaks of identity, the ring speaks of testimony, and the sandals speak of a purpose. So those three things, again, if you see these three things in the Bible, you'll see a vein. It's everywhere. You'll see three things all over the place. God is of three. Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You'll find, like, this is how you find who he is and how you find who you are, is looking at these three things. But what is this process? How do we find wisdom? How do we find knowledge, and how do we find understanding? This is what I like to think about. I like the how question. Well, how do we get that? Okay, we're all good with faith, hope, and love is what we're supposed to have. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge is what we're supposed to have. So how do we get these things? In the prodigal son story, there's a piece in there that helps you get this. He was feeding the pigs. The prodigal son was feeding the pigs. And he said, well, if I go home, my dad will feed me. I can just be a servant in my father's house. My dad will feed me food. I don't have to eat the pig's food. Even the servants get treated better than me than I do here. So there's an awareness of who his dad is there. Finally, he sees him. Finally, he sees, wow, I am awed by my dad. He's a better master. He was a fantastic father, and I missed it. I'll never be a son again. But at least I could be a servant under that one. He finally sees him. Does that make sense? So if we look at Proverbs 1 verse 7, it says this. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instructions, right? Mm-hmm. And instructions. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Let's not say it that way, because the fear is a negative. We are afraid of death, right? That's what we look at when we see the word. Let's say the awe of the Lord. Oh, that's who he is. Wow. He's so good. I finally see he's actually good and he loves me. The awe of God. When you finally quit trying to prove who you are in independence or in works. You can sometimes let go, you empty yourself, and then you see him for the first time. You see, you're blown away by how good he is. You're in awe of him. So the awe of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of, and fools despise wisdom and instructions. And it talks again in Proverbs, I think it says it again in Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of these things. The understanding that God is good and he loves you. When you really believe that, when you really get a glimpse of, here's how I've gotten a glimpse of how good God is. How many of you ever done something stupid and then God showed up for you anyways? How many's ever had someone believe in you when you didn't believe in yourself? What does that feel like? Do you feel humbled? Do you feel that's called the awe of God right there. You saw Christ in someone else. Or they saw you, which means you saw Father God in them. You saw how Father would treat you. That's the awe of God. That is how you will find wisdom. You won't find wisdom any other way. Not true wisdom. You might find earthly wisdom.
Yeah, wisdom. Two different kinds of wisdom. Now, the world, wisdom leads you to the future. Wisdom gets you from today to tomorrow. Now, I'm looking around the room, and we're really a very rich people. Some of us are wearing the riches of condemnation. Some of us are wearing the riches of shame. Some of us are wearing the riches of pride. Some of us are wearing the riches of it'll never work. We're wearing things. Right now I'm looking around the room and I'm seeing lots of garments that we have on. And we have to get rid of our clothes and get on his clothes to become who we really are. And so we have to have an awe of him more than we have an awe of our pain. We have to have an awe of him more than we have an awe of rejection. We have to have an awe of him more than we have an awe of ourselves. Now, wisdom is the key to faith. James is the New Testament book that describes wisdom. Proverbs is the Old Testament book that describes wisdom. And both are books about works, and James defines it very clearly that the works speak of your faith. If anyone lacks wisdom, wisdom's going to get you from today to tomorrow. You need to get unstuck. Listen to me. Listen with your spirit. Grab a hold of what Pastor said. Cheerful endurance. Cheerful. You don't have the luxury of holding on to your sourpuss endurance. You don't have the luxury because you're not your own. You do belong to Jesus and you belong to me. And you belong to this world. You're in a partnership with God. You don't have the luxury of another moment of wearing the clothes that are not your real clothes. Shame is not your garment. Condemnation is not your garment. Disappointment, that's not your garment. Frustration, that's not your garment. Failure, that's not your garment. You don't have the luxury of wearing some garment that's not the robe of your Father. You don't have that luxury. Why? It's a partnership of you and him in this world bringing life to your kids, your family, your marriage, your room, this room, planet Earth. You're going to have to get from today to tomorrow, so you're going to need wisdom. Now, the wisdom of God is not like the wisdom of the world. James chapter 3 describes that the wisdom of God, well, James 2 says the wisdom of God is discovered through the testing of your faith. Your faith is being tested. Hey, it's not a pass-fail deal, it's a manifest deal. Either you show up or you don't. Either the real you manifests or you continue to wear the yoke that's heavy and the burden that's not light. The yoke that's not easy and the burden that's not light. You continue to wear your ashes. Instead of praise, you continue to wear your mourning, your sorrow, and instead of joy. Something that you traded for. Come on, I'm appealing to us today. You don't have the luxury of wearing that stuff anymore. Ha! Shake it off. You don't have the luxury. Come on. You hear it? Caleb, you don't have the luxury. You don't have the luxury of wearing that. You got to let it go. It's not the real you. You were born for such a time as this. The Father wants you. The Father's calling you. The Father's calling you to be in partnership with Him, for goodness sakes. He doesn't want you to prove you can do it. You can't do it. He doesn't want you to work for Him. He doesn't want workers. He wants partners. He wants you to know that the robe that you wear is His robe. The ring on your finger is a testimony of Him, for goodness sakes. It's time to shine. It's time to wake up. Not to prove how strong you are, but to reveal how strong He is. He doesn't want you to be confident in you. He wants you to be confident in Him. You don't have the luxury of walking in your shoes, in your sandals. It's not your path. It's His path. It's your path together. Come on, this journey. You are your father. You are your grandpa, for goodness sakes. And you are your sons and your grandsons. A scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a house who says, whoa, here I am, here I am. And he draws from his treasure things that have never been seen before and things that are antique and lost before his time. And he brings them into the world in a place called now. So the wisdom of the world is not willing to yield. James 3 says it's earthly. Which means it's based on earthly, means it, what does it look like? What does it feel like? What do I feel like right now? What does it look like right now? What's going on in my world right now? That's earthly. Now, it isn't going to take very long when you think that way. What am I wearing right now? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What happened to me? What's really going on with me? Why is this going on in my world? That's what it looks like. Pretty soon that gets into senses. It feels. And it affects your thoughts, your reasoning, your imagination, your emotions, your desires. We need your imagination. God needs your imagination. Yes, He does. He needs your imagination. He needs your imagination. He doesn't need you to be a dumb rock that doesn't think and create. He's a creator, for goodness sakes. Quit thinking the world is going to crush you. You were born to change your world. Greater is He who's in you than He who's in the world. Create something, for goodness sakes. Create it now. Create the future now by the kingdom of God that's within you, with a partnership with God that's in you. Quit being a mind that doesn't think. Quit being a mind that doesn't create. Create with love. Create with passion. Create something that's never been seen before in your family, for goodness sakes. Create something in this church that's never been seen before. Don't expect it to happen for you and to you, because you'll only get what you get. Come on. You wear the Father's robe. You got the Father's ring. And you walk in the Father's shoes. And all of the prodigals are looking for, where is somebody that can show me the way? And all those who serve in the church are looking for, where is somebody that can show me the way? Here it is. It's in the one who sees God as awesome. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, the wisdom of man is not willing to yield. It's earthly, it's sensual, and guess what? It's demonic. The reason some of you can't change is because there are demonic influences against you. Every one of us has demonic influences. In the West, we pretend they're nice. I hate quiet demons. I hate it. They've learned to behave themselves in church so no one thinks they're there. Oh, in the Western world, my goodness, they even attend schools. We got educated demons. We got demons educating us, and we're educating demons. We don't know how to cast them out. No, they've cast out our imagination. They've cast out our thoughts. Okay, not everything is philosophical. Everything is both end. You are spirit, soul, and body. And human wisdom is earthly. Then it gets into your emotions, your imagination, your thoughts, your reasoning, your desires. And then it's demonically influenced. There are demons at work, people. If you fashion a world based on where people are, the earthly wisdom, human wisdom. Now, James 3 said this kind of wisdom is not willing to yield. It's defensive. Well, you're wrong, I'm right. And is full of opinion. Now, let's not get upset at opinion. For goodness sakes, it's a prodigal out there trying to find who they are. You know how you're going to decide the future? You can decide the future the way the world decides the future, or you can decide the future the way that God decides it. Because the wisdom of God is willing to yield. Yeah? Teachable. Correctable. The worst thing that could happen to you is for God to not correct you. You know, sometimes God comes with skin. And if you're not willing to be corrected, then you're saying, I'm not willing to get the wisdom of God. I've got enough wisdom myself. Thank you. And then you're going to build a house all right, but you won't build the house that God wants. You won't build a house with faith toward God. Faith is toward a person. Faith is not toward a promise, guys. Faith is toward a person. Hope is being established because of that person. And the house, the room is filled with all kinds of treasures, precious things, because of the love of a partnership with that person. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And when wisdom and knowledge come together, you get understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of faith. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, love. And when love and faith come together, you get understanding. You get hope.
Nice. So I want to go back into this garment thing a little bit, because I think that there's something here that God wants to do. I think God wants to trade our garments today.
Yeah.
I think he wants to trade. So there's a couple things I'm going to tell you, just because I know the best way I know how to do this is just to show you my own life. Number one, I've learned some things about myself. So I have this scar on my hand from being 20 feet in the air mountain biking without a mountain bike underneath me anymore. I fell on the ground, I broke my hand, and then I got a scar, which is pretty fun to brag about. Maybe someday it'll be an underline to some word on my hand. I don't know. Take risks or something. I don't know. But so I like to brag about it, but that's a scar. We tend to do that. We brag about our scars. And sometimes if you're really hurting still, and if you're really not over what's happened to you, you have to brag about what's happened to you. That's a garment. That's a garment of, you're praising self. This happened to me. Whether it's praise about being a victim, you're proud of it. Some way, it's a way of getting attention. But it's not the truth. It's not what God wants to do. God wants you to be humbled. And I imagine the younger son, the prodigal son coming home, smelled pretty bad and probably didn't have much clothing on. Because he had nothing. He probably sold some articles of clothing to get some food. So he probably had a minimum on and probably smelled pretty raunchy.
Like a pig.
Smelled like a pig. Yep. God wasn't afraid to put his... Father's not afraid to put his robe on you when you smell and you have nothing on you. But if you have something you're hanging on to, you're not in awe of him yet. You're not ready. You're still in awe of self. So let me tell you a story. Now, this is going to be really open. And especially says Luke and Hope are here. And I have this story. Luke and I and Jeremy were hiking. And I was praying really hard before my hike to go see them, that Jesus would show up for me. Because I had a lot of, it said, these signs will follow those who believe. And I was looking at all the signs. I was looking at faith, hope, and love. And I was looking at miracles and all these things. And I'm like, God, how come it only happens here and there? Like, and it happens, I can believe, I can see that happening with other people. But with myself, I have such doubt that you'll show up for me. So I'm asking that you'll show off. I'm asking that you'll do something. And I get there, and Luke is limping. when I show up. I'm halfway through their trip. I'm about to go 4 days, and I don't know how many miles he had done already, so like 40-something, 50 miles. And Luke had been limping for several days. And I have, at this point, I'm like, okay, God, this is you challenging me. I know you want to do this. I know you want to do this. And I had a lot of faith. I felt I had a lot of faith that day. And I prayed and I believed for it. And that night, I'm like, when we wake up in the morning, fine. When we wake up in the morning, it's going to be better. He limped for the next 3 days. So he had gone basically 80-something miles limping. He had broken 2 or 3 walking sticks. By that time, he was barely able to carry his bag, and his other leg was starting to hurt. And this is the part that Luke doesn't know, so I'm confessing here in front of you. When I was walking, we have 3 miles left. When I said, I'm tired of you hurting, Luke. This just needs to be done. I wasn't in faith at all. I was angry. Ooh. I'm mad that it's not happening. Luke deserves it. I'm mad that someone that good of a man should not have to, he believes. And I believe, what's wrong? I've not done anything to deserve this. I'm the older son. I've done everything right. I prayed. I did everything. He's like an older son too. He's done all the right things. God, Luke deserves a healing. And I'm mad that this never happens for good people. And I didn't have any expectation that it would do something. And then I start hearing, he goes, I agree. That's all we did. Some great prayer. I'm tired of you hurting. I think you should be over with. And he's like, I agree. And then he starts leaping around like a frog because he's like, could not believe. And he was in shock for hours because he couldn't believe God would love him that much. But it did the same thing to me. I couldn't believe God would love me when I'm being a jerk to him. When my strength and my faith, so-called faith, finally died, he clothed me. Come on. He clothed me when I didn't deserve it. When I finally let my will die and my what I want to have happen to prove to the world that I'm a good son. When I finally quit trying to prove it and just was honest with him, he shows up. You feel that? You feel the weight of that, right? There are things we are hanging on to that keep us going down the road of earthly wisdom that he wants us to trade. There are pains in our lives. There are wounds in our lives. There are proofs of why everything bad happens to you. You're hanging on to that list like it's a treasure. And you're hoping that list keeps getting bigger because you're in so much pain. You need to make sense of your pain. It's not about making sense of your pain. It's about trading something in. We can trade that list. So this thing happened to you every time you stuck your neck out. So when you were honest, every relationship you've had has done this. Whatever it is, whatever that list is, that list is a garment that we carry like a treasure around. Yeah. And we're not in awe of God because we're not talking about the list of things God did. We're talking about the things that I failed at, which is shame, or it's a false identity because you can see it because there's fear, doubt, and unbelief all around it. Does this make sense? So this is what I think God is asking us to do. I think he wants us to exchange something today. Yes. So let's stand up. Let's do this. Oh, I don't know what that is. Maybe God will reveal that to you, what that is. I don't know if you actually have to know what that is to exchange it, to be honest. God might reveal it to you. I've had other times where God just exchanges something in my life and I didn't know what it was. And it just, all of a sudden, it was different. Does that sound okay? Either way, sounds good, right? As long as we're putting on his robe, his ring, and his sandals.
Yeah.
So I want to put my hand on my heart. It would be great if we put our hand. Father, would you come? Come on. Holy Spirit, we just ask you right now to reveal the places in our hearts that are hanging on to garments that are not ours to wear. I speak to shame, be lifted off right now. I speak to fear, be gone now. I speak to doubt, I say be gone. And to unbelief, I speak to you to be gone now. I speak to anything that's to victimness to be gone right now. Anything that draws suffering your way because you deserve to suffer, I command those things to be gone right now. And I ask you right now, Father, would you put the garment of praise, the garment of salvation? Would you clothe? Would you exchange the clothing right now with everybody in the room? Would you put confidence on people? Would you put hope, faith, love? Would you clothe them with your goodness? Would you put a crown on their head? Come on. Holy Spirit, we just invite you right now to do something that doesn't make earthly wisdom sense, but it does make heavenly wisdom sense. Yes. Exchange things right now. Yes. We just exchange with you.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Bring in awe of you right now, God. Yes. Bring in awe. And awe of your presence. Come on. Let your manifest presence just flood us, fill us right now, fill us. Let each one of us right now inside see you and your goodness, your greatness, and awe of you. And awe of you.
Yes, God. And would you grant us repentance? Mm-hmm. Would you grant us a changed mind from this day forward? That we don't think the same anymore.
Come on.
We walk with confidence. We walk with our shoulders up high. We walk with our head up high. We walk with our heart open and we take risks because we're different. We're not afraid to do the same things that happen anymore. We're actually taking risks because our heart is whole and well. Would you grant us the gift of repentance? Would you grant us the gift of a changed mind? Jesus' name.
Yeah, change it deep inside, inside out. Change it.
Yes, Jesus. Come on.
Grant us repentance unto life in our hearts, unto life in connection with you, Father, that we can celebrate, that we can eat the food of the fatted calf, to be the will of God, to be your will. Not just to do your will, but to be your will. Here I am. It's written of us in the book, in the volume of the book. It's written of us. Here we are to do your will. That our food is to do the will of you, to be you, expressions of this partnership. We thank you, God.
Yes, God.
Faith, come.
Yes, come on.
Hearing, come. Hope, come. Character manifest. Love be revealed. Uniqueness, treasures, treasures, treasures. Come forth, treasures. We need the treasures. We need the rooms in our Father's house. There are many rooms. We need the rooms. We need more room in this place. We need more rooms in this place. Come.
And to those, God, who are on the journey of independence, we call them home.
Yeah, come on. Come on.
To those who have never been here before, who have been here, who have been in the family of God, wherever they are right now, the ones who are trying to find you in independence, we thank you, God, that you trusted them with inheritance so they would waste it all and finally find you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we call them home right now.
Come on. Come on.
Come home, as Danny says. It's time to come home. Yeah. And let this place be manifestation of that. Let us be a family of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where people feel home. Because we're secure and we have hope, faith, and love in our lives, God. Come on.
Yeah.
Thank you, God.
Yeah. And for those that haven't gone anywhere, give us a revelation of your presence of family more than the works, duties, than things. Surely there are things that need to be done, but it's not what we do that defines us. It's who we are. It empowers us to do. Let us be the family of God. Let us be the family of God. Power us. Cool. Ha. Yes. Mom.
And I just hear God saying that he wants to get hold of your imagination.
Come on.
He wants to partner with your imagination.
Come on.
Your imagination is not a place of fear and place of doubt and place of unbelief. Your imagination is a place where Holy Spirit wants to abide in. Mm-hmm. And in the place of your imagination, you can create life. You can create life with Holy Spirit. He wants to partner with your imagination. Meaning, dream up. He's going to visit your dreams. He's going to visit your dreams. He's going to make dreams come in the place of imagination. Of things not seen yet. Things not heard yet. Things that you never would let yourself believe before. Because now you have a different garment on. You have a different ring. You have a different sandals. So it's time for him to visit those places of imagination. Mm-hmm. New treasures. Come on. We do. We call you all treasures.
Yes.
Come on. Amen. This is good.
Can we get them just to pray for one another for a moment?
Yeah.
Just put their hands on somebody and just bless them right now. Whatever is in your heart to say. Just bless them right
pray
now.
Pray for somebody. Come on, raise your hands and declare that.